Lord, give us praise and honor. God, give us praise and honor.
Hello? Before we do stanza 4, we wanted to sing stanza 3 with a little modification. We want homes where the Lord is not just an honored guest, we want him to be an honored host. Is that okay? Instead of guests, we want you to please say homes where the Lord is the honored host. Amen. Shall we try number 3 again? God gave us grace and homes. Homes where the mother requests, strives to show others thy way. He's blessed. Homes where the Lord is the honored host. God give us grace and homes. God give us grace and homes. Number 4. God give us grace and homes. Homes where the children are led to know Christ in his beauty, who loves them so. Homes where together all live and grow. God give us grace and homes. God give us grace and homes. Amen. Shall we pray together? Father, we thank you this afternoon for bringing us to this time together as couples, particularly couples in ministry. We thank you for your wisdom when you say it is not good that a man should be alone, and that you will make a help suitable, fit, and meet for him. Lord, we want to pray this afternoon as we begin this seminar. We ask for your presence. We ask for your wisdom. We ask for liberty of the Holy Spirit. We ask for understanding. We ask for the deepening of our affection for one another. We ask that there will be direction as we go on together. Please help us this afternoon. In Jesus Christ's name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. May I make some quick general requests from you as we go through this seminar? The first request I want to make of you is to recognize that this clergy and wives retreat, particularly this aspect of our seminar as couples, it is not for those who are not here. Praise the Lord. It is not for our church members that are not here. We're going to be discussing about ourselves. We're going to be discussing particularly about our own relationship because we are in ministry. So our discussions in this meeting is very exclusive to ourselves. So as a result of that, we don't want to be discussing hypothetical issues that don't happen anywhere. We want to be discussing things that could help us in our own relationship as husband and wife, particularly as we are in the ministry. So when we begin to discuss, we want you to know that we are in a family. And we are longing that God will get the greatest benefit of our matrimony, particularly for the ministry to which He has called us. If we have opportunity of speaking, of asking questions, we would like and we will appreciate if these questions are practically our own questions, things that are related to our ministry. We want you to know that by the grace of God, we are all here because God has called us into the ministry, and God has given you a job to do, and there's an expectation that is over our heads. And if we don't get it right, we won't be able to help our members that we will be worried about. So I want to request that you should please feel free, be as practical as possible. The second issue, sometimes when we come for a meeting, a couples meeting like this, there is need for somebody to ask a boiling question in the heart. But you might be imagining and saying, hey, so this is how these people struggle in their house. No. When we ask questions like that and we discuss, we are just being free with ourselves. This meeting is not meant for gossip. Whatever we discuss here, we discuss it in confidence that we are looking for how to move on and how to advance in our marriages by the grace of God. Hallelujah. The last thing I wanted to ask you to please feel free to do. This is a very important meeting which FARC has put together, and it was to serve two purposes. Apart from the spiritual things, this is about one of the times that you and your wife are away. Away by yourself. Nobody is knocking on the door and saying, we want to talk to the vicar. And you can be on your own. And if you are lodged together, we want you to use this day and tomorrow to be able to discuss. So whatever issue we raise here, we hope that when you retire to your rooms, you can take it on and take it further. Praise the Lord. What we are raising, the time is not too much for us to be as comprehensive as possible, but there are materials that you might want to make use of. When we finish, we'll be talking about materials. But our prayer is that God will lead us and help us. Sister Shade and myself, we have been in this marriage for the past 31 years, and we have been in ministry. She has been a medical doctor for several years, but about 23 years ago, when we saw the need of our ministry for us to run together, she resigned so that we can be in ministry together. That was when there was nothing, when the whole of our office in Peace House was two rooms, and where the medical doctor resigned to come and sit was the small kitchen in the office. That's where our office started. So it is not about whether we have a big church or we have a big ministry before we think of laboring together as couples. Once we have seen that this is what God is throwing our lives into, it's worth standing together and fulfilling it. So as we begin to discuss, we are not discussing theories. We are discussing what we have proved, what we have worked in, and what has worked. It has worked. Praise the Lord. God has not disappointed us at all. God has shown us that it is possible to follow these biblical principles of matrimony and of partnering as husband and wife, and that nothing will be wrong. God is going to meet all our needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So while we go on discussing, we may have reasons to go into practicality of partnering, of laboring together, of serving God together. We are hoping that this will be of use to several of us. While we were talking of our years, I recognize our fathers here who have been in it for many more years. And of course, when we call on you to share with us your experience, don't hesitate to show us how God has helped you. So it's a seminar. We will take the lead, but there will be open room for us to chat and discuss, trusting that God will help us all through in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, Sister Shade, can you start by taking us through the introduction and the few passages we are going to read?
Couples in ministry, partnering for life and ministry.
Are you hearing at the back?
Couples in ministry, partnering for life and ministry. Introduction. God established the Christian home for the divine purpose in the lives of His servants to be fulfilled. He said, "I will make a help fit for him." He did not promise to make for him a trouble in his flesh. Many couples only struggle through life to stay together, often with troubles and conflicts. It becomes more crucial when the couples are in ministry and are faced with touching the souls of men on their way to eternity. In this seminar, we shall particularly focus on partnering together as husband and wife for life and then for ministry. We intend to particularly study how a couple can deeply and truly labor upon themselves and then together labor on other lives in ministry and yet remain ever one and ever committed unto each other without anything or man putting them asunder. Though designed in form of a study, we shall seek in-depth practical discussions between ourselves, citing real-life situations with openness and absolute trust.
Thank you. That's a general preamble. But just to note one word that I want you to bear in mind, that God, when He said, "I will make a help fit for him," God would not have looked at a man who is doing well in ministry or in what God has called him to do and say, "Let me add trouble to his life." So the first point at which we want to begin is that the wife that God conceived was not a trouble, was not a distraction. The wife that God wanted for his servant is not a liability, is not a load to carry, but it's a help, meet, fit, suitable, appropriate for him. Some people quickly will say, "But why did the Paul say those who marry will have trouble in their flesh?" We will begin to look at what brought that about. But in the beginning, it was not so. In the beginning, it was not so. That was not God's original intention. God's intention is, "I will make for him a help fit, suitable, meet, for his life. So we go to part section A. We try as much as possible to keep moving. We have made it to be an outline so that in discussion, even when you get back, you can take it and take it step by step. Yes, ma'am.
Section A, biblical basis for partnering. Again, we must study the biblical basis and principle of partnering between a husband and wife. What is the purpose and goal of this relationship? The first basis is that none other was made to fit into the man's life as a help meet for him. Genesis 2:18-25.
Will you please turn your Bible to Genesis chapter 2, verse 18? We'll read to 25. Is anybody closer to the microphone and you would like to read for us? Genesis chapter 2, verse 18 to 25. Can we? Yes. Aha. Thank you, ma'am.
Genesis 2 from 18. And the Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a help meet for him." And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle, and to the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found a help meet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man." 24. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh.
And 25.
And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed.
Thank you, Mom. We're grateful. Who will help us with the second passage? 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 8 to 12. Yes, sir.
Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for this cause, or the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. Nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in the Lord. For as the woman is of the man, even so is the man also by the woman, but all things of God.
Thank you very much. We are looking at the biblical basis for partnering. What is the basis for us to actually partner together in life and in ministry as couples, biblically? Sister Shade, you want to start speaking into that before we make more input? Yes, ma'am.
From the Genesis chapter 2 scripture that we read, it was clear that the Lord God, after he had concluded in Genesis chapter 1, that everything he made was very good. Said in Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, it is not good that the man should be alone. He had given him something to do, and the man had engaged in doing it. But now in verse 18, the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. So from this scripture, from the beginning, the Lord God himself said, it's not good for the man to be alone. Which means, whatever God said is not good, is not good. When it comes to life and ministry, the Lord said, it's not good for the man to be alone. And what he said he would make was a helper suitable for him. And when you talk about a helper, it means there is a work to do. If there is no work, there is no need for a helper. And that means if there is nothing to do, there was no reason for the woman to even come into existence in the first place. So I can see from this scripture that what the Lord said he was going to make the woman was a helper. And if a woman will be married and she will not fulfill this primary reason for her existence, I see that it's a failure altogether. No matter what, how useful that woman may be elsewhere, I see that the primary reason why a woman was made in the first place was to be a helper. And so even in ministry, this is the primary, the basic reason why the woman came into existence.
Now, please, before you go on, let's probe what you have said so that we can build on it. You are saying that right from the very beginning, if there was nothing a man is doing, that man is not marriable. Is that what you have said?
Sure, because if somebody is not doing anything, yeah, what will the helper come and do?
So, now, we are beginning to touch a matter here. It meant then that God has seen the ministry and all that a man is meant to accomplish in his lifetime. And God is saying, this man will not be able to finish and fulfill his call alone. I must send him someone who will help him. And because the word is a help, you don't help a man doing nothing. You don't help someone who has nothing doing. For example, if I'm not doing anything and they sent you to come and help me, I say, I have come to help you. The first question is,
to do what?
To do what? Or if a man is approaching a woman and say, I think the Lord is asking you to come and help me, what is the right question that woman should ask? To do what? What are you doing that you needed help? Maybe this question has never been discussed when some people were planning to marry. They never sat down to discuss and say, excuse me, brother, what is it that you are doing that you need a whole person like me to come and help you? It meant then that it is important that right from the onset, and even if we didn't do that from onset, we needed to sit back and say, now, what are you doing? And how can I be of help in that work? Is that what we are talking about here?
Yes.
I will make a help. Please go ahead. I just want to highlight that before I bring some other questions, because these people are going to ask us questions.
Now, for me, it's also important because this is the basic scripture that showed us how the woman was created. The woman The woman is not just an addendum.
Yeah.
She came to fulfill a purpose.
Talk. Help me tell your wife before we go ahead. You are not an addendum. There is something you came to contribute and you must do it. It's not cooperating. we will be talking to men who are not allowing their wives to help them. Are there some wives who actually came to help? And the other said, no. It's my ministry. I'm the one that was called. So keep your mouth shut. It looks as if that man does not need a help. And yet he wants a wife. So let it be settled here. I will make for him a help. So you wanted to go ahead that a woman is not an addendum. Yes, ma'am.
And then it was the Lord God who said it before it came. Even though many of us married, maybe not with much understanding, yet we know that the fact that we have found a woman and we have married, the Bible says he who finds a wife finds a good thing and has obtained favor from the Lord. So when the Lord said it is not good that a man should be alone, the good thing that was not there was the woman, when he said he who finds a wife finds a good thing. So it's not a trouble in the flesh at all. From God's perspective, even if we have been having difficulties, that does not mean that what God said is not true. We must rather seek the face of the Lord to find out where is the missing link. What went wrong that the word of God is not taking place in my own life? So I saw that the Lord said, it is not good that man should be alone. That's the second thing. God sees aloneness as something that is not good. Unfortunately, even though some are married, they are still alone.
I think we are going too far now. Because you are going already to aloneness.
Yes.
Please wait. Let us settle this issue very well. Now, permit me to draw you a little back before we go on aloneness. Because aloneness is the second section that you are going to be dealing with as we go on. Now, but when you look at the passage we have just read, chapter 2, verse 18 to 25, the Bible noted, and I wanted us to please note it quickly. It said, out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air. He brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was no found and help made for him. Which means, pets, household pets, dogs, cats, they are not the help meet for a man. Even though when you go abroad nowadays, they do find that many people, they are actually married to their pets. A man wanted to visit me here for some discipleship, and he's a white man. We have concluded how he will come, so that he can spend some 3 months for exposure of the Word of God. And when we finished talking, and I was about to say, okay, let's fix the date when you are going to arrive, he said, oh, Billy, there's a matter that I need to go and sort out. I said, what is it? He said, can I come with my dog? I said, your dog? I said, sorry, we cannot disciple you and your dog. It was so serious that we could not arrange for him to come again, because he was so committed to dog. And he said, I have to walk out my dog every morning. He called the name of the dog as he is talking about somebody. He called the name, said, I don't know what is the name he called. He said, he will be feeling lonely. And I will be cheating her if I don't walk her out every morning. I said, is it a woman? Is it your wife? He said, no, it's my dog. I said, sorry. Now, why we need to emphasize this? There are many, many men, including pastors, who have not found help that God placed in their wives, and they are looking for something else to complement their lives. Let us establish here that the help that you will need for life and for ministry is the one that God has created in your wife. I thought I should highlight that before we go ahead. I wanted to also note from that scripture that, and I pray that we can understand it together, because we're going to be discussing it. And I also discover that the Bible says, when God saw that there was nothing that could fit the man, he had to go to work. God had to deliberately go back to the workroom to produce the one that is suitable. And I want to show you something quickly before we go ahead. The Bible said, and the Lord God caused a man to sleep, a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. We will be talking about that later on. But I want to highlight the fact that, and God took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib, did you notice that scripture verse 22? The rib, which rib? The rib which the Lord God had taken from man, made he a woman. I don't know whether you are seeing that. The last time you were to go and buy a shoe for me, and since we got married, she's always the one who made all my clothes, who bought all my shoes when we needed to. I won't tell you other things she does, so that you will not be forcing your wife to do it. But since we got married, there are many things that she just took over. But whenever she was going to buy shoes for me, what did you normally do?
You got your size.
She will get my size. Sometimes she said, put your leg here. And she will put my leg on top of paper. Abi? And she will trace it. Because the issue of any size 44, size 45, sometimes you think you are bought 44, and when you come back home, you see that this 44 does not fit the leg of your husband. So what she does is that she will put my leg on paper and trace it out and cut it. So when she gets to where she wants to buy shoe for me, she will put it in. If it fitted, she say, yes, that's my husband's size. Now I'm seeing something here. Ever before God made the woman, God took your measurements. Baba, God took your measurements. It was your measurement that God used to make your wife. There is no one else that honestly will fit your size apart from this woman that God has brought to your life. Hey, am I communicating at all? God measured you. He measured what you are likely to become. Everything that you are likely to grow into in life and in ministry. God, who sees your end from the beginning, He took measurement. And it is with that measurement that the Bible says He made the woman. The rib which God took from man. And I was saying that, it means that no matter the challenges that comes to your life as a man, this woman had been made. There's an elasticity that God has put in her that she will just fit in. Because that's your size. Sometimes many husbands don't know that what you are looking for here and there. Maybe some of you try to have some prayer warriors. You say, I'm praying with those sisters. Be careful. They were not tailor-made for your life. Oh. It is another man's size that you are trying to force yourself into now. And your leg will pain you. Am I communicating with somebody? This woman is your size. Everything that you will need, as far as God's will is concerned, God had it in mind and packaged it into this woman. Hey, husband, are you hearing? Eh? All right. He said, the rib which the Lord took from the man is the one He made into a woman. So I was beginning to see that the things that was absent in the man was deliberately put here. And if any of you will think, well, now, you will suddenly discover that when you got married, you suddenly discover that there are things that you don't know how to do. And that is what your wife is well adequate in doing. It was not for competition, no. It was the manufacturer's design. Did you hear me? The woman by your size is your size. Will you accept? Eh? That is your size. Husband, that is your size. Stop looking up and down. God actually have looked everywhere and He didn't find anything suitable for you. So your wife is tailor-made to fit you. We will be discussing later on how do we experience that kind of fitting. But let's first understand biblically that God said, I will make a help meet for him. Praise the Lord. I just thought I should add that. So, wives, can you help me talk to him? Talk to your husband. You are not being rude, though. Just tell him and say, I am your size. Yes, thank you. That's it. I'm your size. Tell him very well. Say, look, any other thing will not size you. I'm your size. Just settle down. I'm the one that God deliberately made. I'm the one that fits you. Sometimes, you know, I hear someone say, yeah. Just tell him, I'm the one made to do what? To fit you. Praise the Lord. And I'm trusting God that after this retreat, you will start enjoying that size. You know, every time they make clothes for me and they took my measurement, I just wear it without struggle. But if they just made one and say, "Well, Bragule, try this." Oh, yeah. Sometimes you see like this, your leg is like this. Because it's not your size. God has given you your size. Please, before I go on, can you hold your wife's hand and thank God for her and say, "Father, thank you. This woman is the one that is my size. I may not have known it before now, but that's the one that is my size. Please help me do it now." Thank God together. Thank God. Say it for her to hear. Don't speak in tongues this time. Husband, when they don't want to tell their husbands, their wives, something, they speak in tongues. Speak in the language she hears. Say, "Father, thank you that this woman is my size. You saw me before you made her. You saw my need before you constructed her. Help me, Father, to maximize the grace that you have put in my wife. In the name of Jesus Christ." Amen. 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 And I want the wife to say amen. Yeah. All right, go ahead.
Just to go back a bit on that verse 18. The word that you were just talking about now is found from ESV. The word feet. It says, "Then the Lord God said, 'It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him.'"
Okay.
Just to go back on that a bit.
Thank you.
And then I also wanted to talk about this matter of a helper. Because what God made was a helper. And it's important also for us to understand what it means to be a helper, so that we can fit into that labor very well, both in the life of our husbands and in the ministry that God has committed into our hands. He said, "I will make a helper fit for him." I will make him a helper fit for him. And I said, what's the meaning of a helper? To be a helper means to be an assistant to somebody. To help means to assist, to alleviate some of the burden that is being carried. To help somebody means to assist, not to resist, but to assist.
Are you saying that? I want the sister to hear you very well, though. That you are a helper. And as a helper, you are supposed to do what? To assist, not to resist. That's very important, though. You have not been sent into your husband's life to resist him. To assist means to take part of the load, Abi, to alleviate, to share, to help out in some certain aspect of what he is carrying. Go ahead.
So to be a helper, in essence, means the helper must be strong. Mm. Because you cannot help somebody when you yourself need to be carried.
You are raising an issue. Talk more about that.
A helper often is, if not as strong as the person she is helping, at least she must be strong to be able to carry part of the burden. And if one has a helper who is more or less like a baby, instead of helping, that baby will want to be helped. In fact, he will want to be carried all the time. Instead of carrying part of the load, he will add to the load because he's a baby.
Wow. So what are you saying to the sisters now? So that I can know how to put it together.
So it's important that as helpers to our husbands, we need to grow spiritually. We need to have spiritual stamina to be able to bear part of the burden that the Lord has committed into our hands together. We cannot continue to be like a baby who is always crying, mommy,
sucking.
carry me, mommy, carry me. You know, we must be strong enough to be able to carry part of the burden. Our feet must be standing firm in Christ so that as we are helping, we ourselves will not fall. We must be strong in the faith and not be, you know, childish as wives, especially in the issue of ministry. Because one thing I've discovered is that if there is any home that the devil loves to attack, it is the homes of God's servants. And if a wife is not strong enough to be able to withstand the enemy, even when the man is not there, then she cannot be a helper, especially in this matter. So as wives of God's servants, it's important to be strong in the Lord, strong in the faith, firmly rooted in Christ, not, you know, childish. When it comes to assisting, not childish in such a way that it will be, even the man will wonder, why am I married? After all, when I was not married, I was able to do my work. But now that I'm married, everything becomes compounded. So
because,
I felt
because she has become an added load. Now, what you are saying, which we need to note, that actually the wife that God is bringing to this man is not a weakling. It's not someone that cannot do something. God did not just look at Adam and say, Kai, let me just add an extra load for you to carry. So which means, if we can quickly put that together, for the man and his wife in ministry, God actually plans that the woman is capable of taking a portion of what the man is expected to do and do it so well that the man does not need to come and repeat it. Is that okay? It means that this woman, this wife, has not come to eat. She is not a consumer. She is a contributor. Oh my God. Sometimes I hear a woman say, if he knows he cannot take care of me, why did he marry me in the first place? You are not married to this man for him to take care of you. Let's settle that quickly. We will tell him what to do to you. But your primary reason for marrying him is what? Is to help him. Is to take part of the load he's carrying. And you will carry it in such a manner that if he alone was able to chase 1,000, now that you have come, he should be able to do 10,000. Which means that it may be a misunderstanding of biblical principles that makes women to only look forward to what they can eat, what they can collect. Sometimes a woman is even any salary. But instead of contributing to help her husband, he said, no. You married me. If you cannot feed me, why did you marry me? Bring your money first. You see, I'm working, but it's not for that. It's not for that. You are supposed to take care of this. If you are not mature enough to marry, why did you marry? The biblical marriage shows that this woman is a help. And as a help, she's not expecting to be carried. She's expected to do what? To carry something. To share. Baba is happy with me, Abi. That it is important that you come into your marriage with an understanding that God is sending me to this man's life to do what? To help him. Not to eat. Not to consume him. It's to contribute. My own life must not become an added luggage. My wife called it luggage. You are not going to be a luggage in the name of Jesus Christ. But now, what we are talking about here, when you said God made her a help meet for the man, it means that immediately a man and his wife come together in marriage, the basic issue that must preoccupy their heart, particularly the heart of the woman, is how am I going to help this man further than what he is doing now? What aspect of his ministry am I to take? Not as if I'm doing my own work. In Yoruba language, they say, Gbarami ki deleru. That is to say, you have come to help. You have not come to take over. Oh my God. I thought you needed to say something about that. Am I saying it well, or you like to say it? She said I should continue. I have the permission to go on saying this thing now. That you have been brought in as a wife, not to start your own ministry. Oh, I hope there are no wives here who are doing their private ministry. And when your husband is needing help, you are very busy somewhere. I say, but I'm also, God has also given me ministry. And you are busy everywhere, running up and down. And this man is alone. Apart from that, he was carrying this load alone before you came. You have also added an extra load of your own self. And he's struggling. I don't know why I married this woman since she came now. She's not around. Now, let's establish the fact that because it's a help, the woman does not have a private, independent ministry. Maybe I should note a word before we go ahead again. Can I make another comment on this? That verse 18. Let's read verse 18 again. And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him. Did you see the word for? What's the meaning of the word for? When they say for him, what's the meaning of it?
For him.
It's for him. It belongs to him. Praise God. Mom, I thought you want to help us there. He's the owner. Higher. Did you hear what Mama is saying there? That the husband is the owner. Everything that God has put in you, all your grace, all your gifts, all your intelligence, all your ability, God particularly packaged it for him. Sisters, are you with me at all? Or you don't want me to talk like that again? Aha. You are what? You are for him. All that is in you, God did not put it for yourself. Oh. Neither did he put it for one independent ministry somewhere. All that God has packaged into my wife is for me. Even though that makes me afraid sometimes. I really tremble sometimes because I'm just wondering if God will package somebody like this with all her intelligence, and she's very intelligent as you see her. When she's sitting down there like this, and when she was in the hospital, you see so many doctors, they're saying, "Oh, welcome, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am." I said, "You go like this. You do like this. You do like this." And they are all running around. Very effective woman. Only for her to come and say, "The Lord said, all of this thing is for you." I say, "Ah." You know, I just stretch my hand like this and collect it. I just collect it. Everything. Sometimes it's so overwhelming, very overwhelming, that everything that she could have used to better her own self, she said, no, it's not about me, it's for you. What do you want to do? Sometimes she will be asking me, what do you want me to be doing for you? I say, you mean that's all? I remember when she had an appointment, and this appointment was going to make her a director of something all over Africa.
For Nigeria first,
in all the Christian hospitals in Nigeria, they were making her a director. And then there was this meeting, they went and they came from US to interview them. And they were saying, they have found that she's doing well, and they wanted to expand that scope, and that she will be going to Nairobi, sometime to US, and they will be paying her in dollars. And she sat there. Me, I was feeling that, let me not put my mouth so that I will not be looking as a greedy man. But to my surprise, she went on that panel and told them something that shocked all of them. I said, "Thank you very much. I will not be able to take this appointment." They say, "Why? You are the best qualified. We have tested everywhere, and in Africa, you are the one that will help us and all of that." And she said, "No, I cannot, because my primary reason for being here is to be for my husband. And what he is doing, if I cannot be available for him, then I've missed my purpose." And so she left it. And came back and just handed herself over to me like that. I say, "My God, I don't know what to say, but I thank God." Me, I thank God. I just do, "Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you." I want God to help you to understand. Madam, you are for him. When we come to what that means, we'll be talking about what he said, for him. May God help you to know that your prayer life is for him. Your spiritual gift is for him. All your wisdom that God has given you, it's not for you to plan anything else. It's for you to put it together so that this man will finish what God has given him to do. I may say also, what God has given him to do is also the reason why God has anointed you as a wife. That is the reason. If you are not contributing to the ministry into which that man is, you have missed the reason why heaven has endowed you with grace and with his word. Thank you. So go ahead for us now.
Just to share a little bit of my personal conviction about this matter. Because it's not just because of what I would gain or something. There's something that was pushing me, that made me to resolve that whatever God says is his will, that's what I will do. And as I've read it in the scriptures, that the primary reason why I was made was for him, to be a help fit for him. The Gospel of St. Matthew chapter 7, verse...
Open your Bible. These are the kind of things that me, I enjoy. You need a wife that is reading Bible that God is speaking per second to, so that she will know. So please open your Bible and see. Matthew 7.
Matthew 7, 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. I saw that the will of God is what matters most. It's not any other thing. And it is not doing the will of God that will make God to also say to some people on that day, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. And as I saw that the very reason for my existence was first of all for him, I just decided in my heart that anything that would go contrary to that call, I saw it as my primary calling. God endowed, he could endow a woman with different kinds of gifts, and she could be very useful. But if she does not incline those giftings, those talents onto the primary reason for her existence, everything will be wasted. So I felt whatever gifting, whatever endowment of God, I must use it for him. Otherwise, I will not be doing the will of God. Even though I may be preaching somewhere and, you know, footing a particular ministry elsewhere in my own name, trying to serve God, but by myself on my own, not helping this man, it will be like not doing the will of God. So I felt, even as my profession demands, there was, when I was, you know, going to take up an appointment in the first place, and I went for an interview with the government, and they said they were going to post me to a place that was 5 hours drive from where we live, where my husband was a lecturer. I felt, how will you separate me from my husband? In the same state government we want to labor for, and now you will throw me 5 hours away. I also decided, even at that beginning point, that I was not going to take that appointment. I prefer to drink garri with him than to let anything separate us, not even a job, not a career, because the work of God to me is more precious than government work. What will they pay me? If I get money and I lose my home, of what use would that be? My job cannot replace my home.
Thank you.
So it's a conviction. It's not...
Thank you very much. And honestly speaking, pastors, I said we wanted to be as open as possible. Eh? When my wife took that decision, you know, normally a medical doctor normally earns more. Am I right? Apart from their salary scale that is higher, their call allowance, and all the things that accrues because of their profession is much. When she decided and said, no, My primary call is to be for him and be with him. Do you know, this is to the glory of God. Sometime in our house, she will just soak garri for us to drink. And in those days, we don't even have what we could use. So we may get some granite. And we cannot even afford a whole bowl of granite. We will count granite grains. And say, 10 grains is enough for you to finish that garri. And when we finish, we will give God praise. And we will continue. And when I began to go up and down preaching from one village to another, if she got salary at all, she just said, this money has come. I said, we're going for that conference. So we're going to say, okay, carry. So we use all of those things going preaching the gospel. But you cannot see it on our faces today. God is faithful. Let's tell all the wives that are here, your primary call is for him. If for him to fulfill the call of God on his life, you throw your life to him, you will not suffer. Even if things are hard at a point, God never forgets your labor of love. To allow anything else, consideration from family and all of that, to make us not to fulfill this primary call, we will not be doing well. We want to tell you from our own little experience over the years that God has not failed. God has met our need as we serve him, as we live together, as we walk together. But it was important that this was a conviction from her. A husband cannot drag his wife to do the kind of thing we are talking about. Are we together? If it's the husband and say, look, oh, you are for me. Anything you are doing is for me. Bring it. The madam will maybe call in somebody at home in her father's village and say, oh, see what my husband says. Be careful. Don't do that. Oh. Don't do that. You are married, but don't forget where you are coming from. But we are looking at how to become partners. God said, I will make for him a help fit for his life. Thank you. Do you think we should take one contribution?
One more issue.
She wants to
still
raise
on
one
that
more issue.
Verse 18.
Verse 18. We seem not to be able to live from this verse 18 today. Go ahead.
I saw that it was the Lord who said, I will make. It's not the man that will make his wife.
Hi.
And it's not the woman that will make her husband. It was the Lord who said, I will make. And in the making of the woman, I discovered also that the man did not fetch a bucket of water for God to make the woman. He did not contribute anything to help God to make the woman. And I felt it's important also for us to note that until God makes, no man can make. Trying to withdraw money from the woman, maybe because she is not doing as much as you think. Trying to deny her certain things as a man, maybe because she is not up to standard, will not make her. God forbid that anybody would among us will even try to beat his wife just to make her to submit. It will not work. I saw that God is the maker. He is the maker of the man. He is the maker of the woman. It's important for us to allow God to make her. And I saw that this word, I will make, it did not say, I have made. He said, I will make. So even up till today, if there is anything that we need in our partners, in our wives, it's important that we recognize that God still says, I will make. Let's allow him to make. it's important to pray and speak to God over such issues and say, Lord, you promised to make this woman. Help me. Not to, you know, be the ones to force her, to make her, to talk to her and speak nonsense to her head or something. I discovered that that rather hardens a woman much more. It's better to allow God to make. He said, I will make.
So that's why God put the man to go and sleep. Abi? So that he will not be doing giri, 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 giri. God wants her. It is God that makes. Now, husbands, let's say this. It's not by power. It's not by might. You know, men, you have manpower. It is not that power that will make your wife anything. How I wish it is possible for us to be able to say that it is important that the man remains completely submissive to God. Why God goes to work to make your wife. Maybe there's a discussion that the two of you are running and your wife is saying, and you are beginning to, you know, force her. It don't work. Go and sleep. Go and sleep over that matter. Let God work. When God works, the result is wonderful. It's a joyful result when it is God who is working. So I found, so what exactly should a man be doing? He should rest. Baba, go and rest. Leave the matter to God. By the time God finish working, he will bring her. Are we together? Don't withdraw your love. Don't withdraw your attention. Don't keep using words. You say, well, I don't even know why you are here. You are a distraction to this ministry. Those words will only damage, it does not make. I have learned that over and over again. It works better when it is God that has made. Are we together? I will make. And because God the maker is still in the business of making, we cannot see any marriage in this hall not succeeding if you let God handle it. So I say, all these things they are talking about, my wife is not like that. I know who I marry. Brother, go and sleep. Give God space. When next we meet, you will report to us that God has worked. The reason why things have not worked is because you have been putting your finger. Even when God is about to work, whenever your wife just hears that you are the one, she will just jump and say, do you think you can manipulate me? No way. Then she will jump up off the table. Baba, go and sleep. I want all brothers to help me talk to fellow husbands. Say, my friend, go and sleep. Go and sleep. Go and sleep. Go and sleep. This thing will not happen by force. Go and sleep. Let God have his way. Praise the Lord. Thank you very much. Now, All right. Praise the Lord. I hope you are with us in this class. We will soon leave it open for discussion. But we need to catch some few more issues. We are dealing with principles. All that we are talking about today is principles. We are trusting God that we'll be dealing with the practical steps eventually as we come on. Now, can you note something again? That verse 21 and verse 22 up to verse 23 raises some few more issues. What we have discovered is that if we understand God's divine purpose from the very beginning, the practical steps of laboring together, coupling together, agreeing together becomes very easy. So permit us to again highlight a few more lines before we go. Now, I noted that when God caused a deep sleep to fall on the man, and he slept, the Lord took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh thereof. That meant something that I wish we can speak about before we go ahead. Many times when you see a man of God on the pulpit, he looks very wonderful. And many wives, they marry their husband because they already think it's a man of God, he's preaching, this man will have no problem at all. Only when you marry him, you discover that it is first of all a man before it's a man of God. And actually, it is the man you marry, not the man of God. Do you understand what I'm saying? You see, many times it is when he's coming on the pulpit that the man of God comes on. He becomes extra gentle as man of God. As man of God, he will listen to everybody. This one is coming for counseling. He says, "Oh, my brother, hallelujah." Sisters will come and say, "Oh, sister, oh, no problem. We will pray about that. Let's just pray. You know, don't worry. God is in charge. God is in control." And sometimes, the wife of the man of God will say, "Now my husband be this? Hey! My husband can be so gentle, so... he's listening to people. What happens when he comes home and he becomes just a man?" And the wife say, "Can we just say, what? You know that I have no time for that kind of thing." Is it not the same man that listened for 2 hours to another woman the other time and they were praying? Hiya! What is the reason for this? And so many wives don't know how to handle it. They just wonder and say, I didn't expect this. Let's note that in that verse 21, the rib that God took out left a loophole. But God deliberately covered it. God used flesh to do what? To cover it. So to the onlooker, when he does his hand like this, you don't see any hope. You see a man who looks complete and perfect. But when you go near, and you are the only one whom God has allowed to discover it, everyone else knows him to be a great man of God. That's the frustration wives of preachers used to have. No matter the difficulty you are having in your house, if you went and said, my husband is not as serious as you people think, go, they will call you the devil. They say, this woman just wants to destroy our pastor's ministry. A man that God is using so mightily. How can you be saying like that? Madam, you better go and humble yourself. So many, many pastors' wives, they don't get anybody to actually speak to their lives. Because people already loved and highly rated your husband and his ministry, not knowing that there's a rib that was taken out. There's a hole. You are the only one that knows it. And that hole, are we hearing me? Is the reason why God brought you there. You are the only person that can fill up that hole. God didn't allow all others to see it, because if God left it open, above, can you imagine how many flies, how many parasites would try to enter? But God kept it. And we must explain that many times, the man of God's life is highly protected by God, so that they will not bring reproach to his life, to his ministry, and to the word of God. But God has brought the wife in. What is deficient in your husband is sufficient in you. What is missing in him is what God used as the basic component to construct the wife. So we need to know that the Bible says, and the two of them, they were naked, and they were not ashamed. That meant that even when the wife discovered the hole, he didn't say, hey, now you be this. If I had known that you are like this, I would have prayed again. Hey! Go and sort yourself out. No. Do you know that if you went out and you are announcing that loophole, everybody will be surprised. What are you talking about? Because God had made it impossible for them to do what? To say it. It is for your consumption, and it is for your ministry. This is the reason why God actually brought you there. So, can we agree together as we are going on that actually the omissions that you see in him is your commission? Am I communicating with you? Those things that look lacking, that's why God has put it and put you there to fit in, so that the two of you being joined together might become one flesh. But you will see something else. My wife will need to speak about that, but let me introduce it. When God brought the woman to the man, there are three things that I wanted to highlight. She will speak about it. And Adam said, this is now the bone of my bones. There is need for a husband to come to this level of acceptability. A total acceptance. This, not these. I hope there is no pastor here who has changed THIS to THESE. I hope there is nobody here who is in between two, three women. I hope there is nobody who is marrying someone in the village, different from the one that we know here. Eh? Please give me a word in affirmative, say there is nobody like that here. Senior men of God said, Ragule, don't go that way. We don't know. Alright. This. Now when he used the word this, the word this is the word of particularity. This one. Each one of us need to be particular about our wives. A wife needs to know that you are convinced that this is the bone of your bones and the flesh of your flesh. You need to be so particular about this woman that she does not need to be looking for identity. She just knows that her identity is in you and you are not ashamed to introduce her. This is the bone of my bones. I thank God that things have improved in our midst. But many years ago, some of us, we thought it was spirituality to be going in front, 1 kilometer away, and your wife is coming, because you feel they will think you're a woman rapper when you are walking together. Many, many times, several husbands are not eager to particularize the woman that God has put in their lives. This is. You know, a wife feels completely released and relaxed when she is being introduced by her husband. This is the woman that God has put in my life. This is my wife. This is the bone of my bones. When a woman had to be the one introducing herself, I am the husband of that man. I am the wife. I'm the wife of that man. You know that man that preached the other time? I'm his wife. You know, it's not, is it convenient? It's not convenient. The man said, this. I use the word this. Particularity, definiteness. Do you know you can never use the word this without pointing your finger? Am I right? You try it. You cannot say, this is my bone. Does he work well? No. Every time you use the word this, your finger is pointing direct. There is need to always be particular. Your wife is not a general woman. There are many women in the church, in your parish, thank God for them. But your wife is not just one of the women. Your wife, this is the bone of my bones. And do you know that the way you introduce your wife to your parishioners, that's how they will carry her. Am I right? The way you present your wife, that's the space and the place they will carve for her in their heart. Sometimes you are doing a meeting and your wife is standing there knocking. I want to talk to my husband. And the office secretary say, no, he's busy. He's busy. He can't talk to anybody now. Your wife is not anybody. Am I communicating? Whenever your wife appears, everything you are doing must be suspended to say she is here. It's not an interruption. It's a correct thing to do. This is the bone of my bones. And you know that when your wife has that assurance that my husband knows and he has accepted me, she will no longer be struggling. Several women are struggling to show, because they have concluded that if I don't show my face, They will forget me somewhere. And all these women will think he has no wife. So sometimes something is moving your wife to quickly go and say, darling, the lady that you are talking to, who is that? He said, well, yeah. Okay. Be going, I will join you. You are not doing well, man of God, you are not doing well. Because some of those girls that you are counseling, they are enjoying your time. They are enjoying your affection. And some of them, because they didn't, they have not known that they are taking the space of a woman. Sometimes when you finish talking to them, you see them, they walk level like this, pass your wife without greeting. Such kind of girls, they are fire extinguishers. If you came to me and said, Bragule, what do? I say, cast them out. Anything that will come between you and your wife, do what? Cast them out. This is the bone of my bones and the flesh of my flesh. Do you notice that it was Adam that gave the woman her name? She will be called woman because she's taken out of man. Praise the Lord. The third thing I want to note there. Complete identification. Bone of my bones. Now you know, when I came at this, it became very strong to me. God had to open our eyes to see this. When I was still asking God, why should I get married? Because all the people that got married, they just seemed to go into the cooler. And God said, no, in the beginning it was not so. And God said, that woman is not just a woman. That's the bone of your bones. That's the flesh of your flesh. That is you. That is you. When you cleave to your wife, you are only cleaving to your bone. And you are becoming complete. If any man loves his wife, the Bible says, what has he done? He has only loved himself. Because that is you. May the Lord help us in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, you wanted to make an addition to this. Yes, bone of my bones.
Just a few additions, maybe tomorrow we will continue. Yes. When the Bible says God took a rib from the man, and with the rib he made the woman, that also has implications. It means then that because the rib is not external, and what God is saying here is also not physical, it's not biological. Because if you count the ribs of a man and a woman, they are equal. So it's not talking something biological, physical. It means then that, you know, what God is saying is beyond the physical. It's a spiritual matter. That God took something internal. Just as the bone is structural, God took something structural from the man. Something that makes him him. Something structural, internal to him to go and make his wife. That's the first thing I want to note. That the fact that a man looks as if he is complete is not true if he is married. Every married man is not complete without his wife. God has taken something internal, something structural. Even part of his ministry, God has taken out of it to construct the woman. The same way, the woman is not complete without her husband. Whereas God used one bone to make her, the remaining many bones are still in the man. So she is not complete without him, and he is not complete without her. It then means that if a man's ministry, if a man's impact, if a man's utterance will be complete, he needs to have the contribution of the bone
that is in his wife to make it complete. Maybe that's why, you know, when a man seems complete and is doing ministry by himself alone, and is not even involving his wife at all, he doesn't even, in fact, maybe he regards the woman and say, "You don't know anything. What do you know about ministry? Take care of my house." You are missing a bone, and your ministry will be incomplete. No matter how little that woman knows and is able to do, if he doesn't contribute it to your life, your ministry is incomplete.
It will lack.
It's not a matter of incompetence. You may be competent in preaching. You may be competent in many things, but it is incompleteness that we are talking about. The woman, the man is incomplete without his wife, and the woman is incomplete without her husband.
Right.
And this is practical. No matter the contribution, even if it's a little counsel, or even in the place of prayer, that your wife has to contribute something to your life and to your ministry, that contribution will make your ministry complete. We must not disregard one another at all. I think the First Corinthians scripture we read also confirms this. He said, neither is a man independent of the woman, or the woman independent of the man. It is this original thing that God is referring to there. So we cannot have completeness, wholesomeness in our ministries, in our lives, without the contribution of the wife that God has given us. That's the first issue.
Right.
The second thing I wanted to talk about is in verse 21. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in his place. And there I also saw that when God wanted to make a woman for Adam, we talked about the making the other time. When God wanted to make this woman, who will be a help fit for the man, the first person he dealt with was the man. Sometimes we feel our wives they are not able to do anything, or they misbehave or something. When God will address that issue, it is the man that God will wound in order to make his wife.
God will wound him.
It's important for us to take note of this, that God, when he wanted to make the woman, suppose God wants to make your wife submissive. You have been praying, "Lord, my wife is not submissive. Lord, please make her to be submissive." The first person that God will deal with is the man. It's you yourself. He will deal with you, and then you will see that your wife will be what you want God to make her.
So, are you here?
Have you finished? Can we stop for tonight?
Now, I think we have so much issues to go into. And we can leave room for one or two questions for tonight. Then I will give you an assignment, which we are going to come back tomorrow to deal with. I saw one hand. There's one hand there. Please, let's take you. Number one question. Where's the mic carrier? Can you carry the mic to him? We take one from a brother and one from a woman. If we have a woman, that will help us.
Daddy, thank God for you and the preparations this night. I have only just but two questions to ask. One, Mommy said that the woman was made as a help meet for the woman.
For the man.
For the man.
Yes, sir.
And also that the help means to reduce some of the load, lighten the burden of the woman.
Of the man.
Yeah, of the man. Sorry.
His mind is on the woman altogether.
But we discover that in many places and many homes, it seems as if the woman have taken over the whole work. And it's like the man is now trying to help, if he is allowed even to help some of the burden.
Yeah.
Even in some cases, many have been in the field before getting married. The woman just came in and discovered
took
that,
over.
That the woman, the man is now a help meant for her. Then the second one is this. Mommy cited another quotation in Genesis 2:21, and he used some scientific terms and medical ingredients, like the structural thing in the man that was taken for the woman. I now want to ask, because he said that, especially those who were married, whether married or not married, are all men complete or only the unmarried people? And if it is only for the unmarried people, do we not mean that the taking out the structural thing was done during the wedding time? Because I know there may be mysteries. Because a man can be complete, and the moment he gets married, he becomes incomplete. That structural thing taken, was it taken during the wedding, or while he was praying for the woman that the structural thing was taken? Or do we now conclude that all men are not complete?
Thank you very much. Now, thank you for this question. I think our brother is just enjoying this discussion very much. Let me hope that the first question about maybe a woman has taken over and has become domineering, let me hope that it's because of lack of knowledge. And one of the things we are trusting God to do as we are studying is that the biblical order in relationship, God will restore it into such a home. Now, there may be few that has happened like that because of lack of understanding, lack of instruction. Now, we will say to such a husband, please don't go backward. The truth of the matter is that it takes a man who is ahead to be the head. The head has to be ahead. If you are the head and you are not ahead, your wife, out of curiosity, may take over. But that's a woman who is struggling to find her head. Even as you see her running up and down, she doesn't know what to do. She's just doing it. Let's pray that the man will rise to his position to be a head. Who is ahead? This is not by imposition. This is by divine push. When we come back tomorrow and we are dealing with the practical steps, we'll be talking to how a man could actually become the head that is able to provide direction, provide vision, provide all of that. So that a wife, you see, if you have a man, if you have a man who knows where we are going, and who, when he speaks, it comes to pass, you see that your wife will simply put her head inside you and follow. Let's pray that God will help us with that. Now, what we said about that structure, don't forget that it is God who did it. Now, until God brings a woman to your life, let's take note, there is a flesh covering this place. You may not even know your need. Do you know that many brothers didn't know their need until they got married? Eh? Some brothers thought they are doing very well. Only when the woman came into their life, they said, I didn't know that all I was doing was just like this. So, the question of when did God do it? How did God do it? Permit us to stop at that point. When we come back, because when we'll be dealing with the matter of divorce or the matter of a widower or a widow getting married, we'll come back to note that the only time when God joins a man together with his wife, and this bone has come back, and they are no more two, they are now one flesh, the only thing that can remove it is death. Anybody who tries to remove it, you are only creating injury, and you are going to open your life now, because the flesh that had been removed, you don't have how to cover it again. That's why divorces can never balance. Even if they marry three other women, they are not balanced. You will just know that their lives are not balanced. It's not correct. But permit us to come back on that tomorrow by the grace of God. Is there a sister? We give a room to one sister now. And yes. Go ahead. Yes, ma'am.
Thank you, sir and ma, for this interaction. Still on the point of taking over. Because when you got there, my husband mentioned something like that. So that when you are preparing to put us through, sir, tomorrow, you'll be able to explain to us at what point is the woman seen to be taking over. Because at times you do some things because of zeal. Thank you.
Yes.
And it may be taken as you taking over. So probably tomorrow, sir, when we are explaining that, you'll be able to tell us where to stop, which one is taking over, which is our own business. Go. I will not be overstepping our bounds.
All right.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, ma'am. This is a very important aspect. We'll deal with it tomorrow. There are biblical words that God has brought in that you will see as we begin to put them together. You will see that even if a woman is doing something, but you know you are doing it for him, you defer to him, isn't it? You take his counsel. He's the one that says, I think we can do it now. The woman is not independent of the man. But when we come tomorrow, we will be dealing with that. You will see when we come to practical steps, partnering, not as equals, and mates. All of these are issues God will help us to handle tomorrow, sir. Please give Baba Bishop, and then...
Yes, my dear brother and sister. There is a funny symbolism during the wedding program which has to do with the man carrying the woman. You know what I mean? Especially in Yoruba land, they will say, carry your wife. And they will be asking, what are you carrying? I hope that is not in a way saying that that woman has to be carried all the time. You know, like a baby when she gets home. So that she becomes a burden to be carried all the time.
No, sir.
Please. Say something to that. Should we continue with that symbolism?
All right. I would think what Baba said, can we do it tomorrow? We will add it to our thoughts tomorrow. We'll be dealing with the care. Where is the place of care and tending? Where is the place for husbanding? Because they call him husband, not horseband, not H-O-R-S-E-B-A-N-D. He is husband, H-U-S, which comes from husbandry. Abi? So we'll be talking about that. That's where we're going to deal with the issue of carrying. Praise the Lord. So, thank you very much for the opportunity for us to share. Amen. Let me ask our national chairman to come and please pray. Pray for families that are here that God will make this an input for the growth of our ministry together as couples. Now, your assignment, please. Your assignment. We would like you to look at number 2 and number 3. That is dealing with the matter of aloneness and the issue of not having entrance in the place of prayer. Please, just go through it. When we come back tomorrow, we are not going to spend time on it. We're just going to highlight it so that we can go to our practical steps. The Lord bless you. Yes, sir.
Thank you very much. Praise the Lord. Please, shall we give them a hand? Thank you very much. Please, may I ask if Baba Samson Shodibe is here in the house? Is Baba? Is he here? Please, Baba, would you like to come forward to pray? Yes. Baba Samson is one of those that began this thing we are doing here today, and is still strong, as elderly as he is, still following. But please pray for the couples.
Yes, sir.
Shall we pray? Our Father and our God, thank you again for a time like this. Thank you for calling us into your ministry. Thank you for husbands and wives that you are using in your vineyard, particularly in the Anglican Church in this country. Lord, accept our thanks in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you for this session. We thank you for the light you have thrown on our assignments at home and in the church. Lord, may all this make us better servants in your vineyard. Even as we go out, Lord, weld us together. Make us fit for your service. Above all, make us faithful. Make us diligent in all that you have put before us. And at the end, as you empower us, help us to make a success of the ministry you have given us. And above all, may we, with those you have committed to us, make heaven at last. We ask in Jesus' name.
May we share the grace together and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. The love of God, fellowship of the Holy Spirit, be with us now, evermore. Amen.
Honestly, the right thing to do is to respond, because he is gifted for that. And also for the body, the head must recognize that he is going nowhere except the leg carries it there.
Praise
so we depend on each other.
Thank you. We are going to take time now to interact, because there may be so much that you want to either throw up by way of questions or by way of input. Like I did say, there are many of our fathers here who have gone in this journey for a long time, and God has helped you. We like to share. Are there questions? Are there issues that we need to raise very quickly? While you are preparing to bring your input, all we have noted here is that partnering, the husband is the head of his wife and must be the head that is ahead. Husband must be the one that sees. You must have a vision. You must be able to communicate it. You must be able to hear. I know wives are going to be happy if they have a husband that hears God and says, as I was praying for this matter yesterday, the Lord just said we should go like this. And when they did it, everything worked well. You just see that your wife will just relax and say, I have a husband. He knows where we are going. Can I open the room now for us to quickly interact. I know we have entered into a big matter. We cannot finish even the outline we have brought, but we will share with you what we can do after here. Questions, observations, remarks. Don't forget that we are talking about our own marriage, our own ministry. We are not talking about those who are outside here. Don't talk about those who want to divorce their wives. You are not going to do your own like that, isn't it? So let's discuss. How do we go on? Any question? Any interaction? I've seen one hand there. Number one, that brother wearing white. And that man that is standing up, number two. Number one is the first one there. Are you seeing him? Where is the man carrying the mic? Yes, go to him there. Yes, that's number one. And then, when you finish there, you come to our Baba Bishop here, number three. Right, we are coming to you, sir. Yes, three and four. Quickly.
Daddy, please, being guilty of some of the teachings right now, do we owe it up as a father or as a head? Or do we go to reconcile with our wife if they are not here present with us by being open to them, say, Mommy, this and this and this, I'm sorry, it will not continue? Or do we say, from now henceforth, let the bygone be bygone, let me start now to amend? Thank you, sir.
All right, thank you very much. Thank you, brother. Before we take the second question, I just like to say, brother, we have told you that a woman has a pipe. Help her to download. Go back, listen. Once you have listened, and please don't think it is too big to say sorry. Sorry is a little word, but it has capacity to heal marriages. Husbands, if your leg is hurting, you don't keep looking and say, well, I don't even know why it is hurting. No. Immediately, your eyes and your hand are going there. So, I like to say that while we say henceforth by the grace of God, we will do well. But if there are issues that are pending, just get back in the same spirit in which God is talking to us, resolve it, and it will be finished in Jesus' name. Yes, sir. Number two.
Praise the Lord.
And quickly, sir.
I want to appreciate all we have been discussing. Wonderful.
Just go straight, straight.
My question is this. What do we have to say? Our sisters or our husband, our wives, they are made for us. But since we have heard here now that they wanted us to appreciate them, to say some sweet, sweet words in order to encourage maybe their appearance, their dressing, and so on. When the husband did not do that, and they went for work, and then somebody, unbeliever or even a believer, is fond of appreciating that sister, what should be her reaction?
I thought a woman should be the one to ask that kind of question, isn't it?
What should the man who doesn't appreciate?
So, let's say the man who doesn't appreciate his wife, henceforth, do it. Don't allow grasshoppers. There are grasshoppers everywhere. They want to suck your honey. Don't let them suck it. Praise the Lord. You know, a woman that is fulfilled at home, a woman that is feeling loved at home, is not hungry for strange love. Are you hearing me?
If my wife looks nice and I've already said, you look good. If anybody else, I say, ah, madam, you are looking nice. I say, I know it. Actually, my husband told me. That settles the issue. There will be no conflict at all. Husband, do it. Don't allow your wife to be starved, to be hungry for love. That may lead her into what you yourself will not appreciate. Let the wife, let the husband do it. For such a wife, we just want you to know that the snare of the devil is never going to help you at all. If a strange man is touching your cheeks and say, "Car, you are just looking nice," you know that his hand will not stop there. Wrong. It will spoil your life and ridicule it. And how terrible it is for a man, a woman, a wife of a man of God, to find herself being messed up by people around. It's too much. So our concept is, please, let's build our relationship. Let's treasure it. But husbands, we have told you today, please give time, give attention. The greatest thing your wife needs is you, not even money, yourself, your time, your communication. Thank you. Please, let's go to our Father in the Lord. Yes, sir.
Well, in course of your discussion, sir, there was this assumption that a pastor, a priest, could be preparing a message. Probably he was in a state of having fasted or still fasting. And as he prepares for this message, the wife comes around and seeks amorous attention. And I guess your intention, your impression is that you should satisfy her. It is not wrong if it is within the context of marriage. But is there any correlation between this unlikely situation and what we find in Revelation chapter 14, verse 4, from 3b to verse 4? And verse 4 says, "These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins." Does this situation, is there any correlation between the two? That your spiritual work, the output, could be vitiated by any tendency to satisfy your carnal desires while you are busy preparing for a message?
All right. Thank you, sir. Now, let me quickly answer by saying, sir, that the Bible says marriage is honorable in all, and the belt remain undefiled. In the context of marriage, when a man remains constantly faithful to his wife, even their conjugal relationship is holy. God does not look at the conjugal relationship between a man and his wife as carnal, as a defilement. It is not a defilement in the context of their relationship. Actually, if a man will go away from his wife without her permission, the Bible calls it defrauding. And if a woman will separate herself from her husband, even if it is because she wanted to fast, and it is not in agreement, is a defrauding. Now, the mystery of marriage, of marital relationship, is that in the context of marriage, it is the highest level of communion and agreement. And even though we didn't have space to have dealt with the matter of sex in marriage today particularly, we wanted to say that in the context of a man and his wife, that is the point at which both of them are naked. And do you know, if at that point
whatever the two of them agree together over, heaven is going to grant it. But when it's a man going to defile himself with another woman outside, or is flirting in his heart, he may not even have gone to another woman. You know, there are so many men that they have not gone to other women, no, but their hearts have departed. God regards it as a defilement. But, you know, in the context of what we have read in that Revelation chapter 14, I would like to note that first, he was talking about the Lamb rides on the Mount of Holiness, the Mount Zion. And the Bible was now speaking about, you know, you will notice that he said, I had a voice from heaven as the voice of many waters and as the voice of a great thunder. And I had the voice of harpers harping with their harps. And they sung as it were a new song before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders. And no man could learn that song but the 144,000 and 4,000 which were redeemed from the earth. These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goes. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruit unto God and unto the Lamb. Now you will be noting that the issues that are being raised here is not the issue of, oh, somebody is relating genuinely with his wife and they are walking together. Otherwise, if that be the case, it means married men will not go to heaven. No. I think the Spirit of God is talking more deliberately about consecration. And if we consecrate our lives in marriage, and we have said, I know only my wife and I will know no one else, God regards us as holy and walking right. Defilement only comes when your bed, your marital bed is defiled. When some other persons are coming in. When some other intruders have come into that relationship. So we want to note that while we have said we should not allow ourselves to be distracted from each other, but once a wife knows that the purpose of our ministry is what my husband is going to carry, I know she will not distract him. I know that a woman that is passionate about what we are talking about will also be on her knees when the husband is crying to God for a message. Actually, they are preparing it together. As the man is reading the Bible and praying, Lord, give me a message, the wife is also kneeling down and saying, Father, give my husband something to say today. And throughout the time that the husband is delivering the message, what is the wife doing? She's praying. She said, Lord, just help us. Just help us. There is oneness even in the delivery of the word of God. Yes, look at Baba there, the last hand there.
Well, mine is just to add, because some of the issues have been treated, to an appeal.
Thank you, sir.
The chairman, if you listen what I've done, right, and from experience, we discover sisters are really suffering in their homes. And many of these sufferings is lack understanding, knowledge of what to do and how to relate. We give more time to this issue of relationship in the home between the man and his wife. This is general everywhere. From my experience, what I've discovered, and I want to appeal that if Bacon or you next time, please give us more time to be with us so that we help ourselves in this matter. Because a lot of pastors, their relationship is hindering their ministry and their work. And if we're able to achieve that, bearing the mark of Christ, we have gone almost 80% in bearing it. But the issue between husband and wife in the home among the pastors is something else. And I thank God that the chairman and their planning committee were able to start it this night, I mean this season, I guess we'll go further from there, not end it with this place, so that we will rescue ourselves from the danger that is facing us. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Chairman, did you hear what Baba said? The Lord will help us. This is a very crucial issue, and we are praying that we will give it that attention. Now, I would like to suggest, along with what Baba is saying, your matrimony is a crucial aspect. In fact, it's the bridge that leads to ministry. If it breaks down, ministry has scattered already. Let's spend time. I'm sure you have heard. The Lord will help us in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, because we need to pray together and conclude, I will just ask, there are a few questions that have come over here. I will read them. Now, a situation where the husband is not up and doing spiritually, and the wife is up and doing, does it look like taking the place of the husband who's supposed to see but not seeing? I will say no. If the wife has recognized that, my husband is not up and doing, what should that woman do? She should get on her knees. She should pray the man up. You know that any time a man stands up, as he's standing up like this, what is he pushing up? It is his head. Every time, even when you do like this, what is becoming more visible is still the head. So, sister, if God had given you capacity and it appears as if, you have seen a challenge, we have seen it done many times, pray your husband up. How many of you have read about Smith Wigglesworth before? There was that man they called Apostle of Faith, mightily used of God in England many, many years ago. The woman was a spiritual giant. The husband was a drunkard before he repented. The woman even was almost like a lay preacher in the Methodist church that time. Whenever she went for meeting, for fellowship, this man is annoyed. Sometimes she will be locked out. Sometimes she will sleep in the kitchen during cold winter. But she didn't stop praying. She said, God, this is the man you have put over my head. There's nowhere I'm going until he is correct. This woman prayed and prayed until her husband got converted. When her husband got converted and caught fire, I remember reading that the first message they told the man to come and preach, he didn't know how to prepare a message. The wife sat with him and prepared the sermon and gave him to go and preach while she prayed. But by the time God was visiting Smith Wigglesworth, he became such a mighty preacher. Several times we were told that dead people were raised in his ministry as he prayed. Myriads of miracles. When I started going to United Kingdom to preach, I went to the city where he used to be based. And I still saw some of his footmarks. A man that could have been a dropout, the wife prayed him up. But you see, the trouble is that many wives, if they find an advantage, as if they knew a little better than their husband, instead of pushing the man up, they push themselves forward and put the husband under. It will never work. Can we request that? Please engage your spirituality to help him. The Bible says you are his help. The Lord will help us in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let me ask our chairman to please come, and then we shall spend a bit of time to pray. We want to pray for families. Now, as he's coming, let me please ask you to, if you have opportunity of checking materials about, there are a few materials that can take us further in our discussion. I know we can't finish the issues here, but we can at least take some few matters for study. There is this material that we have worked on, No More Two. I imagine that some of you may have got it. Eh? Right. Now, we want to ask if you take time particularly to read it, study together with your own wife. It might lay a very strong, strong foundation for many issues that we have been talking about. The Lord will help us. The dignity of manhood, how to be a real husband, how to be a real father, how to provide leadership as a man. The Bible says the head of every woman is the man. And we sense that what has brought crisis in many marriages and in the society at large is men who are not standing as men. You are the priest over your house. You are the one that will mirror Christ to your wife. We are praying that you will take a look into this. And for the woman, treasures in a woman is a material we deliberately felt. If our sisters, if our wives recognizes what God has put in them, and they are willing to let that treasure come out, your husband will rise to call you blessed. Your children will rise up to adore you, because so much is in you that are yet untapped. And we are praying that our church, the Anglican Communion, will find great, great move of God as a result of our marriages. And this last material, it was one of our first works, God's Pattern for Christian Service. And there we were dealing with the tripod relationship between personal anointing, your marriage, and ministry. We are looking at how to make sure that marriage stands where it ought to stand so that ministry can find fulfillment. If you find any of the materials around, please pick and make use of them. Our chairman will be guiding us on how to move to pray. We need to please pray for families and for these couples, that God will send them forth here with grace and with power. Thank you, sir.
Please, let's clap louder and louder. Better clap. Brethren, may I request us to please stand to our feet as we it has to do with our homes, our ministry. Some of us felt we could just continue and continue and continue, because it's a special area of interest. We, that if we miss it there, we have